Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Sally El Cordy, and welcome to Public Advocate Radio. My guest today is going to be Pamela Popper, and the name of the show is Ohio Says What Emergency? Prove It. And that's exactly what they're doing in a legal way. Very exciting actions they have taken. Let me tell you who they are. Pamela Popper, lawyer Tom Renz, psychiatrist and doctor Peter Bregan. I don't remember Sherry Tenpenny's kind of doctor, but Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. And also Tammy Clark, who is an EMS expert or OSHA expert, and I've watched her. She's quite remarkable in her assessment of what's transpiring. So all I can say is I had a show set and something went wrong on my end, and then I couldn't reach Pamela by phone, and hopefully she has gotten the message by email to call back in to the program now. This is all my fault, and I apologize. However, Pamela has a video that I will play for you if she doesn't call in that is very thorough and very quick. It's amazing how much information she imparts in a very short time. And, you know, Ohio is not sitting down for this. I'm thrilled. And she said that so much energy, time, effort, and money has gone into this, that she is encouraging other people to step off from where they have come. Imagine not having to do all that work. So I wrote to her to say, I'm interested. I'd like to know how to proceed because our state could love being free as well. I don't know if you saw the report today. I haven't had a moment to open it, that Donald and Melania Trump have COVID. Oh, this is beyond belief, right? It's a new gimmick every moment. They looked perfectly fine the other day, but today, and I really want to write back to them and say, oh, relax. 90% of the tests are faulty anyway. Don't worry about it. Keep going. So this is the mainstream media reporting this. And all I can say is if you don't want to test positive, don't get the test. And there are so many things wrong with the test. And the man who invented the test said it should not be used for this purpose. And mainstream media has reported it's contaminated. I have two separate sources that say the chip is in the test. And, people are having troubles from the test having been poked so far in. People are saying the coronavirus is in the test, the chip is in the test, the vaccine isn't required because all the damage is being done by the test. This is quite remarkable. Anyway, Pamela isn't calling in. I feel so bad that I made her wait, and certainly that was not my intent. Everything seemed to be going well, and then everything went wrong all at once. So what I'm going to do now is play the video that she made, which is extremely clear. You will not need any further questions from me. She did an excellent job in 20 minutes. So just hold on while I get that video. Hi, everybody. This is Sally El Cordy. I'm back, and I just wanted to set the video so that you got everything that's pertinent to the lawsuit itself. This is, they're basically saying there is no emergency, and if there is, then you have to prove it. The onus is on you, Ohio, to prove it. And again, the players are, well, she's going to say that right now. So, okay, here's Pamela Popper, the guest that I had hoped to speak with. Oh. Okay, Pamela Popper.
All right. So I've been working on with a wonderful group of people led by Jason Hedges here in Ohio called Stand Up Ohio. and an attorney by the name of Tom Renz, Peter Bragan, Sherry Tenpenny, a lot of very, very wonderful credentialed people. Tammy Clark, the woman who did the OSHA videos on masks. All of us have been working on this lawsuit, which we filed last week on Monday night. And so I have the complaint, just to let you know, it's all here. I'm going to share pieces of it with you today. The whole complaint is 50-some pages long, 56 pages long. It's posted on MakeAmericansFreeAgain.com under legal. But there are 657 pages of supporting documents from the experts in addition to this. So we're submitting over 700 pages of documents to the court. In Ohio. It's filed in a federal court, and it is the plaintiff against the state of Ohio, Governor Mike DeWine, the emperor himself, and the head of the Department of Health, the interim head of the Department of Health, Lance Hines, who is not a physician, by the way. He is an attorney. So the Department of Health is being led by a physician instead of a health professional. This is just, it gets better here every week, right? So we've taken a totally different legal approach to this, and I'm sure all of you are going to want to hear from the attorney, and we're working on a plan to make him available to appear on my YouTube channel, to make him available for a couple of events here at our center so people locally could come to see him, and to maybe do a couple of teleconference calls and that sort of thing, because he's a brilliant, brilliant legal mind, one of the smartest I've ever met in my life, and I've worked with a lot of attorneys. So the approach that this lawsuit takes is it basically, through 700 pages of material, says that the state of Ohio is lying and it is not an emergency. And we make a pretty good case about all that. So the difference between this and a lot of the lawsuits that are being filed all over the country is that people are alleging that their civil rights are being violated. That's true. Their constitutional rights are being violated. That's true. They're arguing that the shutdowns and which businesses are closed are arbitrary. That's true. They're arguing all kinds of things that are true. But where the problem comes is when the other side comes into court and says, well, it's an emergency. We have to do what we have to do to save lives. And then the judge agrees, and then nothing happens. And some of you live in areas where this very disappointing outcome has actually taken place. The approach in this lawsuit, which is genius, and it's Tom's idea, is to instead approach this from the standpoint that there is no emergency. And here's 700 pages to prove it, which means that the other side can't come in and say, it's an emergency. They actually have to respond to the claim that there is not an emergency. So I think you can see the dilemma that the emperor and his minions have at this point in time, his little followers. So I'm going to share a little bit of this. I mean, you can read the whole complaint online. Some of you who aren't going to do that might just be curious as to a few of the things that are said in the complaint, which I think are very interesting. Anyway, talking about flattening the curve, right? Despite the substantial political noise made, the dreaded curve never happened. The emergency supplies or hospitals are simply not needed, and to our knowledge, all of them have been dismantled. This leads to the question, if the emergency was based on preventing our healthcare system from being unable to deal with the potential danger of COVID-19, why would we remove this additional capacity if there is still need for an emergency? Another critical point to make regarding the curve is the fact that it was clearly stated multiple times while making the case for the emergency declaration that COVID-19 could not be stopped. CDC and state experts said we could flatten the curve, but that the disease would continue to run through the population and we simply would have to learn to live with it. Given this fact, we ask the following. If the curve has been flattened enough to take down temporary hospitals and we have no alternative to live with it, why is there still a need for an emergency? We also ask, given these facts, how could we possibly argue that the continuation of this emergency be considered anything but arbitrary and capricious, let alone act as justification for the limitation of fundamental rights subject to strict scrutiny, see below. Then it takes on the issue of deaths, and I'll just read part of it to you. The reporting of deaths related to COVID-19 is so incredibly misleading that, as noted above, even the Supreme Court of the United States was misled. At the time of this writing, it's being claimed that there have been over 150,000 COVID-19 deaths in the United States. That is simply untrue. While we hope to develop a more accurate number through the discovery process, the number of deaths primarily caused from COVID-19 is likely less than 50,000 and has been estimated in scientific scientific studies to be closer to 20,000. And as you know, the Centers for Disease Control stated on its website last week or a couple of weeks ago that it was actually about 9,600. So that's a far cry from the 171,000, I think, that I saw the last time that I looked. This will seem like an incredible statement, Mr. Renz goes on, for anyone listening to the news. The key to understanding the statement is that the 150,000 number could be an accurate number of the people in the United States that have died with COVID-19, but instead has been presented as the number of people who have died from it. And then he goes on to talk about the changing criteria and that sort of thing that is... And he goes on to say, all of this has led to absurd results, with the entire count being thrown off further by epicenters for the disease, such as New York, putting the sick in nursing homes with others that are most at risk. And by the way, the Justice Department is opening an inquiry on that practice in New York, in Pennsylvania, in New Jersey, and in Michigan, where the governors there ordered practices that most likely led to the deaths of people in nursing homes. There's a section on impact, and I won't read it to you. I'm just going to tell you. It talks about impact on hospitals and patient care, the collapsing of the medical system because of lack of revenue, and also the fact that many people were unable to access care that was desperately needed. We had members, by the way, who were in that category, and I spoke about this in previous videos. Low impact on health, lower levels of physical and mental health, as well as weaker immune systems, substantial negative impacts on the well-being of mothers and children due to reductions in routine health services, masked mouth, mental health, tremendous decline, impact on substance abuse, violence, deaths of despair, human trafficking, impacts on children, which I've talked a lot about, everything from economically disadvantaged families that are already food insecure being considerably worse off as a result of this. And one study, he does cite one study I think is important, that if the actions continue, there would be an additional 1.2 million child deaths and 56,700 maternal deaths around the world. Impacts on the economy, and then, of course, the policies related to nursing homes, including the fact that these patients were isolated. Another part, this is, you know, again, I'm not going to read this whole thing to you. I'm just giving you some of the some of the highlights of it. So some of this involves testing and cases and the fact that tests were unreliable. He says, in fact, that, you know, according to the Department of Health here in Ohio, a person who has a cough, whether they die or not, that person lives in any of a majority of the cities in the United States which have sustained ongoing community transmission as SARS-CoV-2, then they're counted as a case. And I've written about this. I've talked about this on YouTube, but he goes into a lot of detail about the cases. At this point, over 100 companies are manufacturing COVID-19 kit tests with approval from the FDA under emergency authorization. This means that the tests are not validated using the typical rigorous scientific methods. And I have some information to share with you from the New York Times a different day this week about the tests. So he goes into the test, and then one of the things I think is very important, and this is an area in which Dr. Bragan contributed, I think his brief that's part of the 700 pages total is like 130 pages, manipulation, the psychological approach to state national public manipulation. A meta-analysis of fear appeals, implications for effective public health campaigns, predicting public support for public actions in a public health crisis. And he talks about the background in public health actually planning for these kinds of things. And so he then goes through and he has a list. It's really extensive. You might remember when this was going on in your state, the daily press briefings with the emperor or empress and the health health officials standing up and using the fear tactics. Our medical director is on video being asked about a public health initiative to supply Ohioans with a kit that includes masks. She's on video stating, I think some of these things are already out there, like they're out there for the flu, but do we listen when we're not afraid? I think that's some of the hardest thing about public health. Acknowledging fear is an important part. And then Devine saying one day, with or without the test, the virus is here. It lives among us, and we must be at war with it. We're at war with a very dangerous, lethal enemy. Now, remember, nationally, the deaths, according to the CDC, strictly COVID alone, 9,600. Compare that to this language. In one prison dorm where we did widespread testing, 152 were positive for COVID-19, but 60 had no symptoms. That is why we must assume everyone out there is positive, said the Emperor DeWine. Dr. Amy Acton, this is the war. It's been a silent enemy all along. A pandemic does more than kill people. It disrupts civil society and supply chains. It can turn us against each other. Well, they turned us against each other. So pages of that kind of language documenting the fact that the state has ginned up fear unnecessarily so when you compare it with the actual data. A final summary of facts here. The bottom line is this: there is no emergency. The curve was never real. But even if there were aspects of it that were true, it had been flattened. This is clearly demonstrated by the fact that the temporary facilities were never used and subsequently dismantled. If we use Ohio's COVID dashboard numbers, there have been less than 4,000 deaths with COVID in 6 months. According to the CDC, in 2017, Ohio experienced 28,008 deaths from heart disease, 25,643 deaths from cancer, and 8,971 deaths from accidents, all without emergency declaration. After discovering this case, we believe that we will see an actual number of deaths in Ohio from COVID, as opposed to primarily being from comorbidities of less than 1,000. As discussed above, tests are a meaningless measure of the danger of this disease, as is demonstrated by the removal and cessation of any steps to expand the number of hospital beds available, not demonstrative of any true risk. In fact, the truth about the disease came out early before the state truly realized the importance of misleading people to instill fear when Amy Acton stated, most people who will get it will get sick like the flu. Some people will never know they had it, just like there are people with the flu who never know they had it or just soldier on and knuckle up and kind of keep going. The testing for cases makes this even worse, given that there is not even a true standard for testing. Instead, we have numerous tests from numerous vendors that may or may not have similar standard for what it means to have COVID-19. The CDC, governor, and ODH know this, so they have allowed for the diagnosis of cases based on a meaningless criteria as a cough in a community in which COVID supposedly exists. Notice how he very cleverly includes the Centers for Disease Control in various parts of the complaint. So minimal is this disease that the governor, ODH, CDC, and other such organizations had to use psychology, specifically motivational theory, to scare people into action. This is because no rational person would do what public health cabal would ask them to do if the true facts were shared. Just brilliant legal argument. And I think I have just one more little piece here. While it is no longer discussed by the state, it bears noting that the premise behind the declaration of this emergency was flattening the curve. Even the CDC has stated that it would never be possible to stop COVID-19, and we simply needed to flatten the curve so our healthcare system was not overrun. Given that our constitutional rights are sacred in this nation, and they should have been only limited in the narrowest possible way to achieve the compelling governmental interest of preventing our healthcare system from being overrun, why have we dismantled the temporary emergency hospitals that were built when this started despite reopening? Why have we not been working frantically to expand our infrastructure so that these noble state executives could perform their constitutional duty to protect rather than destroy the rights of Ohioans and Americans in general? It appears Governor DeWine already gave his answer to this when he stated, we all need to become accustomed to the new normal. We assume, based on his actions, this new normal to be a permanent state of emergency where the executive branch of Ohio simply places itself above the Constitution, the courts, and the state legislature. And do I have one more piece? Conclusion. The emergency declaration and subsequent actions taken by the state of Ohio are not and never have had an even a rational basis. The state has a duty to protect the rights of its citizens. When those rights must be abridged, they may only be abridged after meeting the proper level of review for any given right. Broad actions that wipe away all that it means to be an American can never be permitted, and broad actions should never be taken again. And then it goes on from there. It is definitely worth reading the whole document. Like I said, it's a brilliant, brilliant brief, and you can read the whole 657 pages of supporting documents online. And remember, the thing that many of you are saying, but this case got lost and that case got lost and they filed one in our county and then we lost it. And then they had, articles of impeachment and there weren't enough votes. And then the legislature was going to curtail the powers and it didn't happen. What makes this different, what makes this so different, is that this alleges there is no emergency, which means that the governor and the emperor and his people can't walk in and not address it because there's an emergency. They actually have to prove that there is, and good luck with that. One last thing I'll mention is we are interested in helping other lawyers in other states that want to do something similar. In other words, there are hundreds of thousands of dollars of work that have gone into this with experts and preparation of documents and everything else. If we can be helpful to others, we try to do everything we can. I know that the Stand Up Ohio group feels this way. We feel this way. Tom, the lawyer, feels this way. We want to be as generous as we possibly can. So if there are lawyers out there who want to do something like this, we have to have some kind of way to organize the chaos, but we would be happy to help. And stay tuned for more developments. I'm sure it's going to get really interesting really soon. So this is a day of celebration because I predict that this will be the beginning of actually making Americans free again. And if we follow through and we assemble our voting base and we really stay diligent, God willing, this will never, ever happen again, this terrible, terrible thing that has been inflicted upon our society. So let's positive expectation, pray to God, and I'll keep you posted. All right, thank you.
That was Pamela Popper, and she did a spec job in just 15 minutes or around of laying out this lawsuit, and says if you are interested in having this lawsuit in your state, they will help you. This is a gift, a tremendous gift. So I would like everyone to consider that if you want your freedoms back. In fact, the website is Make America Free Again. Pardon me. MakeAmericaFreeAgain.com. MakeAmericaFreeAgain.com. Now, Pamela Popper, her personal website is WellnessForumHealth.com. So you can visit her there. And she says you are welcome to call her at 614-841-7700. Now, I've tried that number a couple of times. I'm going to try it one more time and see if she will join me on air. Would you mind dialing it because the number has disappeared now? I'll give you the number, and we'll see if she'll join us. I had set a show, and then several things went awry at all. Oh, that's the number, yes, concurrently, and I wound up canceling the show by accident. Please dial it. We'll see if she answers and get her on the air. Yes, I'll ask her to call in when she picks up, if she does. I couldn't get that number on my phone three times. Yeah, hi there. This is Sally L. Cordy, and you're on the air unfortunately. But Pamela Popper called into my program, and I had to cancel the program because of concurrent things happening altogether. And so she wound up waiting for 10 minutes while I reset a show, and the show is currently running. Is she available?
Wait a minute. I'm on the air right now?
Is this Pamela?
No, this is one of her staff.
No, yes, you're on the air because I reset a show. So would you kindly ask her to call into the program?
Let me see if she's available.
Thank you.
I don't know if she is right now.
That's fine. Thank you.
Hi, this is Kelly, Sam's assistant. She's actually on the phone right now. She's got a I don't know who she's talking to, but she's on the phone, so she's not available.
Okay. Would you let her know kindly that it was by mistake that the program that I had her set for was canceled, number one.
Oh, the time it was canceled, the program was canceled?
Well,
because I'm looking at her planner, when it's supposed to be 1 o'clock.
Yes, let me just finish the message and then everything will be explained. I had a program set. I started the program. things happened concurrently on my end that were out of my control, and I canceled the show. Once I canceled it, I saw she called in. So I reset the show and asked her to call into the program now, starting at 1:30. I have aired the video that she made, which is as clear as a bell, absolutely clear, and I can end the show right now because that's how clear it is. But I had questions for her because a lot of people in different states would like to be pursuing the same trajectory that she and her partners have. So so if she's available, I will leave the show running for a little bit longer, let's say till 2:30, okay, till 2:30. And if she's available to call in, we would very much value that. Also, I tried to call your office 3 times from a different phone. I'm calling on my husband's phone now, from a different phone, and I was told that I could not access it. So I couldn't explain it to her from my phone. Luckily, I was able to access it from my husband.
Oh, so, that's strange.
Yeah, that is strange. But nonetheless.
Well, I would email Pam because I don't know what, how long she's going to be on the phone.
Right. What I will do is slip a note in front of her saying, the show is live till 2:30. If you have a moment, Sally is standing by and apologizes.
Okay, I'll stick a note under her door because she's got her door locked.
Well, right, exactly. That's all I can ask, and please ask her to accept my apologies.
I certainly will. Thank you. I will let her know.
Very good. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, so I'm just going to sit here and wait for her for the next half hour, and if we're lucky, she'll call in, and if we're not, she won't. So I'm going to mute myself so you don't have to listen to me. And wasn't that a remarkable statement that she made? Yes, it was. Very exciting. Actually, I want to promote other things. For example, her partners in this lawsuit, Peter Bregan, will be interviewed by Ingrid Castle on Republic Broadcasting Network at 8 p.m. tomorrow night, Saturday night, October 3rd. And you can look forward to hearing that live at 8 p.m. on republicbroadcasting.org, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 Central, 6 Mountain, 5 Pacific. Okay? So he is the psychiatrist doctor who is participating in this lawsuit. Fascinating man. Really interesting perspectives. I really enjoyed talking with him, setting up this interview. And also, I will be interviewing possibly, this is pending something else, but possibly on Monday, I don't remember what time, maybe noon, I'm not sure, on Public Advocate Radio, which is at blogtalkradio.com/public advocate. That's what you're listening to right now. I will be interviewing Tom Renz, who is the brilliant lawyer that strategized this lawsuit for Ohio. And so on Monday, I hope to be interviewing him. So we will have interviewed 3 of the major players on this lawsuit because it's that exciting. It's that exciting. They have found a way, finally, to thwart this faux emergency. So I love that Pam Popper keeps calling Governor DeWine Emperor DeWine because I'm sure she's referring to the emperor is wearing no clothes, you know? And certainly those of us in the vaccine aware movement have been saying for a very long time, the emperor is wearing no clothes when it comes to safe and effective. But anyway, this is October Vaccine Injury Awareness Month. And for October, we ask people to do 3 things, okay? Number 1, take the flyer, which is you can print out on an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper, which simply says October Vaccine Injury Awareness Month. And it has a picture of a child in a bed with a mother's hand over the child's hand. It's kind of very apt and representative of vaccine injury. And anyway, so we take this flyer and we go and request that the shopkeepers put it in their windows. I have had 100% success by doing this. Now, mind you, I don't put the flyer in the window myself. Instead, I talk to the shopkeeper. I tell them what about vaccines, the contents, the adverse reactions, which are all diseases in internal medicine because the contents are toxic, and then the schedule of vaccines. And they are always startled by that more than anything. It's hard to be more startled than that, but whatever. Because when they were kids, they had 3 doses of vaccines, you know, and now they're looking at the schedule of 72 doses of vaccines through the age of 18. So even if they were made from perfume and flowers, they wouldn't want 72 of them, you know. So what are the common components in vaccines? According to the Centers for Disease Control, they are aluminum, which you don't want injected in your blood. And if it does get injected in your blood, sticks like glue. People don't realize that. It's one of the properties of aluminum. And formaldehyde, which is what you put in the bodies of dead people as a preservative, but you don't want your, and it is very a known carcinogen, which means cancer-causing. Then you've got mercury, which is about the most toxic substance on Earth. You know, if you drop a thermometer and the mercury spills out of it, you have a hazmat suit to clean it up. Same thing with a vaccine. If you drop a vaccine that contains mercury, you have to have a hazmat protocol to clean it up. So these are just 3. And then MSG, monosodium glutamate, which they tell you don't eat, but by all means, inject it into your bloodstream. Then there's polysorbate 80, and that causes infertility. Oh, by the way, I was listening to one of the members of the Fauci Gates team talk about their extensive COVID vaccine testing in Africa and Brazil. And he said in an almost disappointed way, it's only causing 60 to 70% infertility. Oh, right? Unbelievable. So that's all it's causing is only 60. No, nobody said that was part and parcel of this vaccine. Did they say we're going to vaccinate you to make you infertile? No. So why are they disappointed that it's only causing 60 to 70% infertility? Gosh. So anyway, you talk to the shopkeeper and, you know, be concerned about that person, their family. Educate them for them. And believe me, you will have results, because I have never once posted a flyer in a shopkeeper's window myself. I don't do it. I leave it with them after having spoken with them. I also give them information of where they can continue their research, you know, valuable websites. I actually point them to, childsurvivaladvocates.blogspot.com. That's one of my blogs, and it has everybody else's websites on it too, because I'm asking people to become an ambassador for a vaccine-free world. And that website gives you all the information you will need. But we are still waiting for the medallions and ribbons that you can don. Now that banners are becoming obsolete, we must find another way to communicate. So ambassadorial ribbons with medallions, for showing that you are, in fact, an ambassador for a vaccine-free world, but you need the knowledge to answer people's questions, to educate them and to answer their questions. And if you go to Child Survival Advocates, plural, .blogspot.com, you'll find all that information. Okay, the second thing we ask you to do for October Vaccine Injury Awareness Month, well, become an ambassador. How about that? That's number two. All right, so we have four things. So the third thing we'd like you to do for October is create your own event. I'm thinking of and expecting to do what, have you seen these boaters for Trump where they fly the flags for Trump? Well, thinking of getting together people on a boat. It would be amazing if we got a flotilla. That would be amazing. But I'm just one boat flying the flags of October Vaccine Injury, you know? And the new banner, the banners I have are for 2020. The flyers I ask you to put in the windows of the shops are the original flyer. Everybody seems to like that flyer, and they will put it in their window, and I will not mess with success. What I would like, however, is if you wanted to fly a banner from a boat. Hey, that's what I'm thinking of doing. It sounds like fun too, right? I'd like to have fun. Fun is something that I haven't had for 12 years since I embarked on this journey to prevent children from dying from vaccines. So fun is not part and parcel of this mission. But anyway, so any event, a parade, we've done parades, believe it or not. We've done brunches. You know, just get your friends together for a brunch and educate them. Give them a bunch of information to leave with so they can educate all their friends. So lectures, you know, you can screen a movie that's pertinent or videos, get your friends together and do that. I don't know. There have been so many different things that people have done over the past 12 years, but I create a schedule of events so that people can know, you know, basically it was your state and your, if you start with a date and a state, and then when you have a link that I can help promote, send that. But for now, I don't expect to be publishing this schedule till the 5th. So if you have an event, send it to me before the 5th, if you will, or if you can think of an event to create. Just the date and the state, and the minute you have more information, get that to me as well, okay? And go to facebook.com/October Vaccine Injury. And that's the page on Facebook for this information. Okay. Now, the last day of the month is the day I look forward to all year long, because we take a lot of actions during the year, but this one is so easy. All you have to do is have flyers that you can pass out, like either print the banner or print the flyer, and on the back of it, print pertinent information, which you will find at childsurvivaladvocates.blogspot.com. Print that on the back of it. And when the parents come with their toddlers or children, you can give them one of those flyers. And for the children themselves, you can give stickers, scary stickers, which have a skull and crossed needles on them. And you can purchase them from Eileen Daneman at Vaccine Liberation Army, vaccineliberationarmy.com. She sells all kinds of things to educate people. but those scary stickers for Halloween are completely perfect, and the kids are excited to get them. So that's a terrific idea there. So I will do that today. VaccineLiberationArmy.com, so that they get you in time for Halloween. All right, so I get about 300 people come to my door, and I know because I make up 300 flyers and they're gone by the end of the night. And I only give them to the adults. I give the kids stickers. And you may not have that trafficked an area, as do I, but I'm finding people coming to my door and not my neighbors, which means they're looking for information on vaccines. This is really what's transpired. But anyway, so that's it. That's the last day of the month and my best day every year. My best day is Halloween because normally I chase people down the block to educate them. I won't let anyone with a stroller get by me or a small dog, I might add, because it's the infants and the puppies who are the most endangered by these shots. Their little itty-bitty bodies cannot take all these toxins, and they don't have weight-appropriate vaccines. So you can get a Great Dane and a Maltese, they're going to get the same shot. So even though I'm concerned for cats too, there isn't a great variety in size difference. So whatever size is, it's basically the size. But with dogs, it's tremendous difference. And with people, babies versus adults, one shot to a 6-pound infant is the same as 30 to 180-pound adult on the same day. So that's, if you give a baby a shot, it's as if you gave 30 to an adult. Why are we giving babies 33 shots? That would be like giving over 900 to an adult in the same year. I don't know any adult who wants 900 doses of vaccines, do you? I don't know any adults in my circle who even wants one. So we have to keep our eyes on the kids because, you know, it would be a travesty for sure if we were forced vaccinated with any vaccine, let alone the COVID-19 vaccine. You know, but we've lived. These babies, they're the future. And are we going to give them a compromised future or no future at all? Yeah, that's what we're doing right now. So keep fighting for the kids and you'll be fine. Keep your eyes on the kids, you'll be fine. Because if you won't let them do it to the children, they won't even try to do it to you. So I have a really good blog that I just made, tinyurl.com/beatingadults. That's right, beating adults. It's our turn, and they're showing you all the different catastrophes that are going down in each of these countries, responding to people violating the 6-foot distancing rule, violating getting on a bus without a mask, violating going to a gym without a mask. Oh! So you want to be tased, you want to be body slammed, you want your children taken away in several instances. So this whole COVID thing, we're going house to house to remove family members who might have COVID. Oh, you think they want grandma or do you think they want the kids? Yeah, it's the kids. They want the kids. So not that grandma's in. Oh, she's dispensable. Yeah, take grandma. But I'm just saying, they, in fact, are after the kids. So this woman has a baby in a hospital, and they test her for COVID, and it comes up negative. Well, with all these faulty tests, could have gone either way, right? Well, right before she leaves the hospital, just one more test, and it comes up positive. Now they have to separate her newborn that she is nursing from her, and God only knows if she'll see that child again. Because kids seem to disappear. Yep. Especially when they're separated from their families. So I'm waiting for Pamela Popper. I said I would stay on the line till 2:30, and I will, which is another 15 minutes. I don't really feel like keeping talking. I have to be honest with you. I spent enough time on the radio. So if you're out there and you're listening, you want to call in, you're welcome. But if not, that's fine too. I have to be here either way. Okay, what I'm going to do right now is mute myself. And if Pamela calls in, I will unmute myself. Okay, cheerio. Thank you. Hi there. I just read this and I must share it with you. I see a meme that says Florida, Georgia, Idaho, South Dakota, and Tennessee are now mask free. Yahoo! Boy, that's great news. I live in New York. Now I can't really do this without compromising seeing when Pam calls in. So I will not read this to you, but I would love to read it to you. It's all these people's reactions to the flu shots. Boy, endless posts of really bad reactions to the flu shot. It appears it's even worse this year, if it's possible. I know the dose they give the seniors has got extra metals in it for extra Alzheimer's. Dr. Carly, who I've interviewed about 25 times. She reverses vaccine-induced diseases. She's a miracle worker, quite frankly, is what she is. And we've done whole shows on Lyme disease, Gulf War syndrome. What else? Oh, the Gulf Coast. She made a whole prescription for the people of the Gulf Coast to detox from all those metals that were being sprayed and toxins in the skies after the oil leak in the Gulf Coast. If you recall that, it was a catastrophe. And instead of cleaning up the oil, they just sprayed them ceaselessly for months with these red, I don't know what it was, but it was everyone that I was in touch with down there, which were a lot of people, they all had to move. They had to move so their kids lived. It was that bad. So they can get you so many ways, you know, not just vaccines. It's just that vaccines go directly into your bloodstream. So it's like they're the worst. And often that's the problem. They have the MTHFR gene, which means they cannot detoxify. So these kids should not be exposed to any of these poisons, especially vaccines. How are they going to get it out of their blood? They're not. So they're finding that the kids who are autistic most usually have the MTHFR gene. And they cannot be helped. They, you know, so you can reverse vaccine-induced diseases. Dr. Carly's done it. 5,000 cases of autism alone. Forget the other, everything else, just that. That's, her kid had autism himself, thanks to the vaccines. And she learned how to do this to help her son, and she had to leave the allopathic medical community to achieve that. So I don't know if Pamela is a medical person herself, an allopath, or not an allopath. I would assume she is not, but a naturopath or otherwise, homeopath, because her site is Wellness Forum Health. So I would not be surprised if she herself were a naturopath or a homeopath. And I would only see naturopaths or homeopaths. I would never see an allopath. which is Western medicine, basically. So, waiting till 2:30 because I said I would, and I feel so bad. Went awry on my end. It was my fault. But what can you do? I really was interested in following up with Pamela on this lawsuit. You can do it in your state. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you do everything you can do to stop this bupkis emergency? Bogus, bupkis, you name it. So, all right, I'm going to put you back on mute while I wait. Okay, the countdown. It appears that Pamela has not is not free to call in. I feel so bad. I never do this, but I guess these things happen. I really needed to talk to her, too. Total bummer. Anyway, 19, 18, 17, 16, 15, 14, 13, 12, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. If Ohio says what emergency, prove it, and Ohio can't prove it, this is a happy day indeed. Anyway, I'm looking forward to interviewing Tom Renz on Monday and Ingrid Castle interviewing Peter Bregan on Saturday, tomorrow, and we will get to the bottom of this. But I thought her video couldn't have been more clear, and at least I have shared that with you. October is Vaccine Injury Awareness Month. Get out there and distribute those flyers. You will find them at facebook.com/October Vaccine Injury. Thank you.